Hello, hello, Michael Lombardo here. Welcome to Awaken Podcast. If you are new to the show, we have an episode releasing every Monday on charismapodcastnetwork.com. You could also go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere the podcasts are listened to. You could tap in there. You could also go to our YouTube channel. You could subscribe on YouTube. There's hundreds and hundreds of hours of revelation, teachings, conversations with amazing ministers, missionaries, pastors, authors, prophetic voices in the body of Christ from all over the world. The heart of this show is Ephesians 5:14. Awake, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. That was spoken to believers, not unbelievers. The Apostle Paul was saying, wake up, wake up. And he went on before that. He said, don't participate in deeds of darkness. Take everything that's the dark in your life, bring it into the light so that it could become light. Wake up. And so my heart is for believers all around the world, everyone, for all of us to just see Jesus for who he is, the beauty of his life, death, resurrection, ascension, who the Father is, the beating heart of love that the Father has for us, our identity in Christ because of his finished work, and also the tools, the gifts, and everything God has given us so that we can destroy the works of Satan, establish the kingdom of heaven in the earth today. And so that's my heart. And today I've got a friend on the show. His name is Mark Turner. It's been some years since we spoke. We caught up a little bit before the podcast. And so I'm really excited to have him on. He's an evangelist. He's a passionate preacher of the gospel. His heart beats for really people just to encounter Jesus Christ. He wants people to encounter him. He was formerly a drug addict like myself with a broken background, but he had a powerful encounter with God that changed his life forever. Since that event, he's preached the gospel to believers, unbelievers. He's seen Jesus heal, save, deliver many through the power of the Holy Spirit. He preaches at small churches. He preaches at large crusades. He's been all over the world. And so I'm grateful for his humility. I see the testimony of Jesus manifesting through his life. And so I'm grateful to have Mark Turner on the show today. Welcome, man.
Hey, Michael. I love you, man. It's a privilege to be here with you. I honor you and Selena and all that God's been doing through your lives. You've been a blessing to me since the moment I met you when you lived here in New Jersey with us. And now to watch you continue the call of your life in Texas and all that God's doing through Awaken Dallas and through the podcast. It's awesome to see, brother. I love you. Love you as a friend. Love you as a brother. And I respect you as a minister. And I'm honored to be here with you, man, and see what Holy Spirit wants to speak through us today.
Yes, come on, man. I want to talk today about social media and obviously Jesus and all of that, because I've been grieved over the years and just how Christians have used social media. And we haven't really talked about that on the podcast before. But, you know, social media is a beautiful tool that God's given us to glorify Jesus Christ and to spread his gospel all over the world. I remember when I started this podcast, I began to see like this podcast got to Uzbekistan. It's in the Middle East. It's in the Philippines. It's like all like God, like what a beautiful avenue to share the gospel all over the world through social media. Like, but then also I began to see the other sides of it that aren't so great in terms of how we could be used and how it's a tool. It could be used for the glory of God or it could be used for the glory of man and also to spread things that aren't well. So I want to tap into that today. But before we do, man, I really felt on my heart to have you share a beautiful testimony of how your family has grown. And so I feel like there's going to be people listening to this podcast that maybe were in a similar position you were with not being able to have a baby. And now today having two beautiful babies. So can you release that testimony over the listeners today?
Sure. And it's wonderful to talk about it. Thanks for bringing it up because it brings such joy to my heart. You know, I've seen the Lord do unbelievable miracles and healings all over the world, blind eyes open multiple times, children born mute, speak at the mention of the name of Jesus. We've seen God do extraordinary miracles all over the world, but this one is personal. This one is dear to my heart, and it's a miracle that God did in my life, so it means so much to me. But me and my wife, Melissa, we just celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary this week. February 7th
was our 10-year wedding
anniversary. And that's a miracle within itself. Anybody being married to me for 10 years is a miracle.
We just celebrated 11, my wife and I. We just celebrated 11.
Come on, man. So great.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, we had been trying for the first 3 years of our marriage to have children, and we just had no success. We just, we didn't really think about it that much because we weren't necessarily trying, but we weren't not trying.
Yeah.
And when we got to the point where we decided that we wanted to have children, we just kept getting negative pregnancy tests, negative pregnancy tests. So we ended up going to the fertility doctor, and he, you know, did some tests on both of us. And he said that there was a small problem with me, and there was a small problem with Melissa that equaled one big problem together, and that we were, without his help, we were not going to be able to have children. So we started doing everything that he wanted us to do. My poor wife was poked and prodded and took her temperature every day and did all these. I mean, it was just a mess. And for over a year, we just got negative pregnancy tests, even with the doctor. And we were starting to get discouraged. And I remember we met with the fertility doctor for, we didn't know it was going to be the last time, but we met with him. And he discussed doing a procedure where they would create five babies in a lab with my seed and Melissa's egg. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, we don't want more than two children, three at the most. What do you do? And I used the word. I said, what do you do with our other children? And he said, well, non-scientifically, medically speaking, we discard them. Or you can give them away to be adopted by somebody else. And it just, neither one of those sat well with us. I mean, I'm a firm believer that life begins at conception, that it's not an embryo in a jar in a lab, that that's a living child, and not only a living child, but our child. So it just didn't sit well with us. And we thanked the doctor, and it was a very quiet ride home. I remember we didn't talk much on the ride home from the doctor that day. And when we got home, I just, something stirred in me. I said, Melissa, and it's not like we didn't have faith through all this, brother. It's not like we didn't have faith, but faith really rose up in me. Call it a gift of faith, whatever it was. I said, honey, I said, this doesn't have to be the end result. I said, let's pray. And I remember we joined hands in our bedroom at the time. We didn't start speaking in tongues. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We didn't rebuke a spirit of infertility. Not that there's anything wrong with that either. But the Bible says where two or more agree in the name of Jesus, it shall come to pass. And we just, I remember we joined together and we said, Father, you are the only one that can create life. And not only are you the only one that can create life, your word says that you give us the desire of our heart. And we desire to have a child, and we thank you for creating life in Melissa's womb in Jesus' name. Amen. And like, that was it, bro. That was the prayer. But we felt it and we believed it and joined in that name that is above every name. And after years, brother, of negative pregnancy tests, within 2 months of that prayer, she was pregnant with our son, Benjamin, fully healthy, full health through the pregnancies, through the delivery. My son is absolutely sharp as a tack. He is a blessing. He carries the spirit of Jesus in him already. He's blows me away with his understanding of the Lord. But the testimony doesn't end there, where the doctor said we couldn't have any. Jesus said we would have two. And not long after my son was born, by no plans of our own, we found out that my wife was pregnant with soon to be my daughter, Abigail, who is now 3 years old, about to be four. And
come on, man.
That's our Jesus.
Lord.
That's what he does. And, you know, if you're out there right now listening to this and you have been struggling with getting pregnant and you're married, let me say that first, too.
Yes, that's a good clarification.
And you're married because God's going to honor that covenant, obviously, too. But, you know, what he did for me, he can do for you. And I bind up that spirit of infertility, and I speak life over you in Jesus' name. I command your womb to reproduce. Sir, if you're out there listening, I command your seed to do what God created it to do in Jesus' name. I release this testimony, this anointing upon you right now, that what God did for me, he will do for you. And where the doctor said you couldn't have any, Dr. Jesus is going to step in, and he's going to give you the desire of your heart, and you shall have children in Jesus' name.
Come on, man.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for sharing that testimony, man. I can't wait to meet your kids one day in person, man. It's going to be, it's so awesome, man.
Yeah, our kids would get along great.
love a blast for sure. And so, man, I it's been a little while since we connected in person, since I moved to Texas, you know, and you're in Jersey still. And, but follow you on social media, and, you know, I see what God's doing in your life, and it's awesome, man. And I just recently saw a reel. I don't know what podcast you were on, but you were talking to somebody. There's a clip of you just talking about how, you know, how many people try to bypass God's process when it comes to being a minister, You know, and how social media is a really easy way to do that, because anyone can have a platform or a pulpit when it comes to starting a YouTube channel or starting a social media page and just recording videos or whatever. And you were just talking about the importance of allowing God, you know, to humble yourself in God's timing. You're even just talking about, like, if you don't have a pulpit at your home church or you don't have a home church, what makes you think that you can have a worldwide platform? And that really resonated with me, because I've been kind of quietly, I don't like being that person online that just rebukes stuff and tries to call, you know, vents my frustrations or whatever. Right. But I have been grieved at what I have seen when it comes to ministries and young ministers that are just using online, but then not submitted to a local church, don't have authority over their lives. And, you know, the scripture in James 3:1 has always resonated with me and been deeply convicting, but it's James that says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that he who teaches will be judged more strictly. And that is not condemnation for me, or like a heavy, oh my God, maybe I shouldn't teach. It's like this unhealthy, ungodly fear. No, it actually says, no, if I'm called to be a leader, that means I'm called to influence, and I want to influence for the kingdom of heaven, and I want to preach the truth, and I want to be humble before the Lord every single day so I could be a vessel for his Holy Spirit, and I could be a preacher of his truth, and I could be submitted to his process and not try to exalt myself before it's time. And so, and I've just seen these ministries that they just try to get as many people in their program as possible to teach them how to, you know, preach the gospel online. They take a few thousand dollars from people. They teach them how to preach the gospel online, but they're teaching them how to like use a viral framework on how to like in the world's way, mess with algorithms and be viral in the name of preaching the gospel. And, you know, I've just a lot of young people that aren't, man, it's just, man, it's grieved me. And so I just wanted to bring it up to you and get your feedback on and just dialogue that, because I've seen the beauty. I don't want to be the person that's harping on the negative stuff or just trying to call people out. That is not my heart. This conversation for me is about, how do we represent Jesus as believers rightly? How do we walk in kingdom honor, and how do we walk according to the kingdom instead of the ways of the world and call it kingdom, so that we could be a better representation of Jesus in the earth? That's my heart in this conversation, nothing else. Not to call people out or say, this is bad in the body of Christ. I want us to learn from this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%, brother. And I back that. We're not here to be the Facebook police or the social media Gestapo here, but this is a conversation that needs to start happening in the body of Christ. And I'm seeing it in our generation, because, you know, we're more involved in it.
Yeah.
And it came up, I was on the Altar podcast. That's the one that I was on, where that you saw, and it was on his heart too, because he's seeing the abuse and the misuse of it. And it's something that needs to be talked about in hopes that it can bring some correction, but more importantly, just bring the platform into the correct kingdom position. I don't know, you know, the wording for that, but you know what I said that on that podcast that you saw, and something that the Lord spoke to my heart a few months ago, was that if social media is the only pulpit that allows you to preach from it, then you have no business preaching to the church. And you see people, and they're using the platform of social media, and that's the problem, is that social media has given everyone a platform, given everyone a pulpit, so to speak, and they're preaching, like you said, the gospel. They're preaching to the church, and there's two sides of this coin. One, people trying to instruct and teach and raise people up that have no business doing so, because they're 23 years old. They haven't gotten in the word. They haven't sat under anybody. They're not ordained. Not that you have to be ordained to preach the gospel, but there's no process there. There's no and they're trying to teach people, and they're, like you said, using algorithms, and some of them are charging money for classes and this and that. But then there's also the other side, which is like the social media police, that all their job, all that they seem to do, is just tear down ministers, and they're calling people out on being false prophets and wolves. And that's like all that they do. And that is so, I mean, there's a place for that gently in love, but all that's doing is causing division in the body of Christ at such a level, and causing people to turn away from Jesus and Christianity rather than press into him and press into it.
That's right.
And it's really scary to see right now, brother. And I'm glad to have this conversation with you about it because it needs to be talked about. And the scripture you talked about in James, to me, that does put the fear in the Lord in me, brother. It always has a healthy fear of the Lord.
Healthy,
That I am so accountable for what I preach. I'm so accountable for what I teach from any pulpit on this podcast. When I preach in my local church, to when I preach, we just did crusades to over 112,000 people in Tanzania. I am so accountable to the Lord for what I teach and what I preach. And I have prayed many times in the secret place, brother, just to be transparent. I'm like, Lord, help me to preach your gospel, God.
That's
Let
it.
it be pure. Let it be the message of your kingdom, God. Do not let it be my agenda. Do not let it be for me. Let me preach your gospel because the calling is so holy, brother. It is such a holy calling. This is not something to play games with. God takes it very serious. And when you truly are called, you feel that on the inside of you, that this responsibility is bigger than you. It's bigger than fame. It's bigger than any platform. You are preaching his kingdom come. You are preaching the eternal word of God. You are planting seeds in people that can determine their future. And we need to make sure that we are preaching the totality, the purity, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for we will be accountable
That's
at the
right.
end of our days for
That's
what
right.
we teach to other people. It
That's right.
should put some fear in you, man. Healthy
That's right.
fear. Not
Healthy,
that God's going to strike you with lightning and kill you, but it should put a healthy fear that when you get alone with God, you tremble before him and say, Lord, let me speak your words. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Not my words, but your
That's
words.
right.
Go forth through me in Jesus' name because we have such responsibility, especially when God gives us a platform.
That's right. That's right. And I was involved. One of my buddies went through one of these master classes, and I tapped into some of the videos, and I was watching them, and there was really good things that were spoken on. So these training, there's like maybe, I don't know, like 30 people involved in these trainings or whatever. And there was some really good stuff. And honestly, I think that the heart behind, you know, I think people don't recognize where they're imbalanced and where they're off, you know, that there's a genuine misunderstanding or deception there, because some of it is like, well, faith, we got to get the gospel out to all the world. But then the metric by which they do it, or the way that by which they do it, winds up being off. And so what I feel like is, man, we could have faith and we could genuinely want to get the gospel out to the world. But what I feel like we need, especially as ministers, the whole body of Christ needs this, but especially as ministers, we need a baptism in the fear of the Lord.
Come on, man.
The real fear of the Lord. We need a baptism. We need to recognize, like you said, the high and holy calling that we have. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, holy brethren with a heavenly calling, a heavenly calling,
Heavenly calling.
holy brethren, a heavenly calling. These are strong words. These are deep and powerful words. And we need to recognize that. And I think stepping into pastoral ministry has really opened up my eyes and my heart, because I see people in our flock, you know, sharing videos from a 21-year-old that's recording in their parents' basement, that, and I look into like who this person is, and it's like they've got a ministry, but no one covers them. No one covers them, and they're super young, and they're talking about Nephilim more than they're talking about Jesus Christ.
Come on, man.
We're talking about demons more than we're talking about the Lamb of God that was slain. And I remember just hearing like, okay, well, you know, we need to hit the algorithm and the viral, you know, go viral. So use these words, you know, use these clickbaity words and talk about demons, talk about heaven and hell, talk about Nephilim, talk about conspiracy theories, talk about is this person saved, the celebrity saved or not saved, because they know that these are what gets, you know, it gets the clicks, it gets the likes, it gets the views, so that it could increase their following so they can get to the good stuff, I guess, and preach the gospel or whatever the case may be. Whatever the end goal is, the way they're getting there is not the kingdom of heaven. It's just tugging on people's hearts, conspiracies, and drawing people into things that are not Christ Jesus. And we know the foundation of pure ministry, of true ministry, is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. He is the head. He is the cornerstone. He is the material by which we build. And so if a ministry is growing by any other means except we're preaching Christ crucified, we're preaching his resurrection, we're preaching his kingdom come, then we've gotten off the path and we're, and now I just see sheep just getting so distracted. People of God, believers getting so distracted from the beauty of Jesus Christ through our relationship with him, the revelation of his unconditional love, the being equipped for service and holiness and righteousness. You know, you do a video on dependence on God, you do a video on holiness, you do a video on the cross, and it doesn't get as many clicks as, well, what does Genesis 6 say about the Nephilim? You know what I mean? And we need to be weary of these things, right?
Yeah. And what did Paul say? He said, I preach nothing but Christ crucified. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the gospel is the cross. It's the power of the blood, the power of the resurrection, the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you can touch on these other subjects. Sure, there's place for them. Absolutely. I don't deny that there's a place for them. But if it's not wrapped up in the gospel, it's not wrapped up in the finished work of Jesus Christ, if you are not preaching Jesus in it and preaching it through the filter of the cross and the finished work of Jesus, it wasn't just the finished work of the cross, it's the finished work of Jesus. Come because on. We have the resurrection, we have the ascension, we have the promise of his return, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the meantime, so that we would not be left as orphans and empowered to do what he's called and created us to do. It all has to be in its core wrapped up in the gospel. It's all got to be wrapped up in the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. And I mean, for me, I can't preach anything without preaching Jesus. Yeah. I mean, that I don't have any other filter. People say, oh, well, you're an evangelist. I can't stand that title. I say, no, I'm a Christian.
That's right.
And that's what I preach at the end of the day is Jesus. And and I can't help it. Everything comes back to him. Everything is because of him. Everything is through him. You know, the biggest issue, and you know, you touched on it before we, you know, when we were talking before we started the live podcast, that, you know, you had to distance yourself from social media and take yourself off of Facebook because you're finding that it was taking away of your pursuit of the Lord and your time in the Word. And, you know, what am I learning from social media that I can't just go grab from my Heavenly Father myself?
Come on.
I can't say more of a big amen to that. But that in its totality, brother, wrapped up, is one of the biggest problems with what we're seeing on social media today is the everyday believer will get their theologies from what they hear on social media instead of getting their theologies from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit or from their God-given shepherds in their home churches who are proven men of God. And you know, people are getting really twisted theologies because they'll watch a 40-second reel on social media, and they take it as gospel. They take it as truth. They take it to heart. And the problem is they're spending 4 hours on social media, and they're not spending 4 minutes in the Word of God. And it will distract you. It will take away from where you will get. I mean, here's the thing, brother. Jesus is alive, right?
Yes.
This Word is alive, right? It's alive. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You want to know how God really speaks today? Yeah, sure, he'll speak spirit to spirit, but here it is right here. He has spoken. You want to hear the voice of God? Get in the Word. Get in the Bible. Let the Holy Spirit take the words off the pages and let them become the bread that you eat that becomes your message, not somebody else's message, not somebody else's twisted theology. Get the Word of God deep within you, and he will develop his message on the inside of you, not somebody else's message. He'll develop his message. And that's what God is calling you to carry. Because so many people, not only are they getting their theologies from social media, but they're getting half of the things they quote when they're talking spiritual.
Oh, sure.
And, and so much of it is not the truth, brother. It's just not, it's not the Word of God in its totality.
Yeah. I was just thinking for the first time as you were speaking is, wouldn't the enemy love for us to get just distracted from Jesus?
Yeah.
If he can't get us in living in blatant sin or renouncing the name of Christ and, you know, back in the world, then wouldn't he just get us distracted from the person who is our wisdom and our righteousness? You know, for I'm unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel is the power of God. And then you see the cross is the power of God. It says in 1 Corinthians, the cross is the power of God. And then Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God, our sanctification and our righteousness. And so if we get distracted from being in relationship with Jesus and get distracted from focusing on the beauty and the power of this gospel that will, it's, we will never exhaust the revelation and the glory and the power of this beautiful gospel and this person that it would just be like the enemy to just get us distracted and diverted from that. Because if he wants us to be, if we're a Christian and he can't get us not to be a believer and a disciple, then he can, he could try to get us to not be fruitful. And then not to take any ground and to be deceived and to be focusing on things that don't reap change. And I do believe about talking about heaven. I do believe about bringing up demons and angels. And we need to talk about these things. But Jesus must be the core message, that everything else makes sense. Nothing else makes sense without Christ and his gospel being in the center. Then everything else makes sense. And we can talk about everything else. And so anyway, I was just, and just to transition a little bit, I like what you said earlier about just discernment ministries and different things like this. I just want this because this has really grieved my heart when it comes to discernment ministries, because they're popping off everywhere. Is if a ministry is built on the criticism of church leaders and ministers, that is not a ministry. It is actually antichrist. The only ministry, if it's a true ministry, if it's a pure ministry and it's kingdom, it's built on Christ, his gospel, his kingdom, the eternal scriptures. And when a ministry is, I know a couple in my head and I will not say them out loud right now, but I just see just with the clickbaity, this person's in sin, that person's in sin, this person was wrong, that there's so much bitterness in it. There's so much pain in it. Probably church hurts, people that are wrapped in church hurt, which breaks my heart, breaks my heart that there's people wrapped in church hurt that are taking scriptures in that painful deception. They're taking scriptures to really make them feel like what they're preaching is true and their ministry is true. Some might really know what they're doing, but I think a lot of them really just have pain and they think they're doing something right, but they're building ministries and the criticism of other ministries. If that is you, this is not, and I'm talking about you, Mark, I'm talking about those, if anyone listening to this right now, if that is them, please repent, come to God, because this most rebuking should not be done in public. No. Most rebuking of leaders should not be done in public. There are some instances of that in the scriptures where the Apostle Paul said he rebuked publicly in certain cases, but for the most part, all this stuff should be done in private. And if you have no authority over a leader, if you're not their overseer, if you're not their bishop, if you're not directly related to them, what makes you think that you could weigh in on their process? Right? I don't know. I'm just going to drop the mic on that one and maybe have a couple, you have some feedback, but.
No, I mean, I say amen, because the public rebuke is the last step. Mm-hmm. And that comes after the private attempt. Mm-hmm. That comes after the attempt with brothers or elders from the church to try to get them to reconcile if they're off.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm seeing is most of these so-called, you know, witch hunters or whatever you want to call them on social media, that they just seem that their ministry, like you said, is built upon tearing ministries down or revealing, you know, false teachings, false prophets, whatever it might be. Number one, it is antichrist in its nature, because it is not, you know, number one, it's not bringing any healing to anybody. It's causing division. And what you see, the people that follow them, the people that comment on them, are people that are wrapped up, like you said, in church hurt. And that's devastating, because they're feeding the hurt. They're not releasing healing.
Yeah.
They're feeding the hurt. They're fueling the pain on the inside of them instead of bringing healing through the Holy Spirit. And that right there is, you know, we'll know each other by our fruit.
That's right.
And most of the people that are calling out, we can use as example, because I respect him totally and think he's a wonderful teacher of the Bible, Bill Johnson, but so many people call him down and call him out as a false teacher, a false prophet. I think he's like one of the most wisdom-filled men. I mean, I respect him with all my heart. But here's the deal. These people calling him out, they have no personal relationship with him. They have no say. They have no ability to talk to him privately one-on-one. They have no ability to go with his elders and sit him down and say, hey, you know, I feel like this teaching is out of line, blah, 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 blah. They have no position. Mm-hmm. And that's the biblical steps, is you do it in private first, one-on-one. If they don't receive that, then you go with the elders in private, speak it again. If that doesn't work, then like the last, final, horrible, if you have to, is you bring it public to the church and you bring it public. But that's after many attempts in private to resolve it. And these guys on social media and women, I'm sure too, they're not following biblical protocol or etiquette in this either. And the problem is, it's bringing division to the body of Christ, and it's fueling those that are already living divided because of church hurt. It's not bringing them back into reconciliation, which is our ministry as believers in Jesus Christ. We've all been called to this ministry of reconciliation, not ministry of separation. We've been called to ministry of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what it's doing is causing more divide and causing more hurt in people. And and honestly, those that are truly called of God, your opinion is not going to stop their pulpit.
100%. And what kind of fruit is it bearing? Like, what's actually being accomplished here besides the besides the defamation of people that you're not Lord of? And so I don't. Anyway, it's so.
Yeah, you're darn right. They ain't Lord of them, bro.
Yeah. And so it's sad to me, man. It breaks my heart because I well, I was also raised in a culture that was really big on honor, and I also understand I also understand that in the name of honor, a lot of leaders have taken advantage of their privileges and treated people wrong or lived bad lifestyles. I'm not by any means ignoring that or blind to that. These people need to be held accountable. They need to live a Christ, a Christ-centered life, a cross-shaped life, and you can't use your authority or your name or your ministry as any reason to mistreat people, and those people should be held accountable. But at the same time— Sorry, go ahead.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there, but there are people in the kingdom right now that have authority, that established, that are addressing the real issues.
They are, again,
I mean, I can say their name because they know God's called them to do this, like Patricia King. Mm-hmm. Like, she's really stepped into this platform of like, hey, listen, this is off, and there's victims, and this and that, and there are, there's Lord help us, the church needs Jesus, my God.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's men, and sin is being exposed. It's the end days. Everything hidden is being exposed. We can't be surprised by this, but there are people in platform, in position, that are bringing it to light, but they're also bringing it to light because they have the authority to do so.
That's right.
But they're more focused on helping the victims in the situations, calling out the man of God, hopefully bringing him back into reconciliation as well. But really, there's victims here and helping the victims. And I mean, but they have the platform to do this. They have the spiritual authority to do this, and they're doing it the right way. They have relationships with these people.
I'm grateful for
With you, buddy.
I'm grateful for elders and overseers like Patricia King, but also our overseer, Bishop Mark Sciarrona, who is a leader of leaders, and how he's grooming, he's raising up, he's fathering, he's mentoring young pastors and leaders, teaching them to stay on the straight and narrow. And if you're not on the straight and narrow, he'll let you know, you know, because he has that authority after being a pastor and being a leader in the church for over 50 years. And God has raised up real fathers and mothers in this time. And these are the people that have the authority for the people underneath them. But it's hard when people are rogue and they have no authority. That's when it gets harder. But I want to, because we have like five more minutes here. I want to go into something that you mentioned earlier about prayer, what we spoke about earlier in the podcast, because we could take this in a lot of different directions. When it comes to social media, I'll just say some benefits that have been a blessing. Number one, being able to get the gospel all over the world. Incredible. The fact that, you know, this conversation is going to reach beyond America into different parts of the world is absolutely incredible. And to parts of the world where the gospel is really restricted from people even being able to hear it as often as we have it here in the West. There's countries that's getting to the Middle East, people on their podcasts are listening. And so that's amazing. I love the connection that it does bring. I love that I've been able to stay in touch with believers from around the world. I love that I've been able to stay in touch with old buddies and friends. I love that I'm able to connect with people all over, magnify Jesus, and connect with people and stay in relationship with people, because that's the kingdom. The kingdom is about cultivating and fostering relationships, and us through relationship being ministers together of this beautiful gospel until the Lord comes back. And so I love that I've been able to really use social media as a tool to maintain connection. I know you have as well. And I love that there are so many amazing teachings available to me. I love that I could listen to amazing leaders and preachers from around the world that I wouldn't have been able to if I didn't have podcasts and social media. This is a podcast in and of itself, so I believe in it. I believe in people learning from the teaching ministry of Jesus. So all of that. My struggle when it came to social media, which I'm taking a rein on, is just the addictive nature of the phone and the constant access to information that pulls you. And what I found is, because we have so much access to whatever this brings, it steals my hunger for the access I have to God. And I believe that every single believer is meant to learn to live out of their union with God, to practice the presence of the Lord, to pray to him without ceasing, and to receive communication from God without ceasing. That it's a giving and taking relationship where we're walking with him, talking with him, and man, how God speaks to us and how filled we are of his spirit if we just maintain that conscious awareness of his presence and talk with him as a friend throughout the day. And this has taken that for me in some seasons of my life. Not fully, but I have wasted time on this. And so for me, I've said, no, I'm not. I'm getting off of this. I'm thank God because of our beautiful servants of our ministry. They're helping keep gospel stuff come, you know, gospel message in our church, having that go out. I'm grateful for that. But I will not allow this to be in competition with my relationship with God.
Come on, man.
I am dedicated to the practice of the presence of the Lord. And if I'm constantly getting intake from everywhere else, I'm getting less intake from God. And I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, amen, 100%. And you know, yeah. For me, it's so true, and it's a generation we live in. And listen, like, I am not downplaying the effectiveness of proper social media use for proclaiming the gospel and getting around the world. It's wonderful, and I use it myself, and I see others use it correctly, and it is a powerful tool when used correctly.
Yeah.
But brother, every time I fast, I fast food, obviously, and that's a great thing to fast. But with that, I always fast social media and I fast my phone as much as possible. And it never ceases to amaze me how every time I do that, how much closer I get to the Lord. Mm-hmm. It is a distraction. It is a separation. Listen, I work still. I need my phone. I need my emails. It's my source of income. I mean,
yes.
Come on. I'm just saying that to separate yourself from it, to get closer to the Lord is just, it's powerful. And it's so easy to get sucked into Facebook, sucked into Instagram. Oh, I'm just going to check for a minute. Next thing you know, you're on there for an hour. An hour went by in a blink of an eye. Yeah. And that's time you could have spent in the Word. It's time you could have spent with the Lord. There's a balance for sure. But, you know, you said that, you know, that this is taking some of the fullness of your time. And you know, the one thing I don't want to sacrifice in my life is having the fullness of the Lord. And, you know, and sometimes we need to put it away and put it aside. And I challenge you to do that, my friends. Fast Facebook, fast Instagram, fast it, and just see what it does for your spiritual life. See what it does as you get into the Word more and you get into His presence and the secret place more. I know for me personally, it does worlds of difference for me when I fast social media, my Lord. And when I get back on social media, I mean, it just feels different too. It just like, I don't know how to explain it, but I challenge you to do it for yourself because it's been very rewarding in my personal life and in my spiritual walk when I fast it.
Yeah. It's the soul too. It's the spiritual life that affects the soul because you feel your soul feels less cluttered. You feel more healthy. There's more clarity. There's more peace. There's more joy when you're just, when you're not just cluttered with so much information and entertained when you actually have time for your thoughts and time with the Lord. And not only that, just even to add another extension to this would be just our relationships with people.
Yeah.
This you could often go into a room and everyone's on their phones, or maybe, you know, you're at home and your kids are running around playing, but you're just staring at your phone, entertaining yourself because you're tired, you're drained, rightfully so. You work, we have all this stuff going on. It's easier just to escape, and all of us have that frail, like, could be tempted in that way, I'm sure. But like, how many moments has this taken away from me enjoying a moment with my kids or my wife or somebody next to me? And not to say that my face is always in my phone, that's not the case, but how many moments can I get back, you know, if I just put it away, put it on the other side of the room for a moment? I also, this is something that's not popular to say, but the Christian life is also a life of self-control and self-discipline. Amen. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. God doesn't control you, but He gives us power to control ourselves. And so just the deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. The reality that self-denial is a part of our Christianity, and fasting food is a part of that, because we say no to our body when our body wants food for the sake of something greater. When it comes to just living a disciplined life where we could put away our phone, or we could put away food for the time being, or we could establish these routines in our life that foster union with God, hearing from Him in terms of Bible reading, prayer, these things that many believers often forsake because we're so busy, we got a lot going on, whatever it may be. Like, we are called to a life of discipline, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord, asking Him for the grace to be able to do it. But as believers, you know, harnessing self-control is such a beautiful thing, and it's a godly thing. And so I just ask, you know, like, assess your, like, for those who are watching and listening, just assess your own heart. How can you establish healthier patterns in your life that foster growth in your relationship with the Lord, as well as your relationship with other people that we're meant to build a relationship with? Because like I said before, the kingdom is relationships.
Yes, it is.
It's built through relationships, cultivating relationships.
Yeah. And I want to say this too, if there's any young ministers out there listening, you know, that you feel and know that you're called by the Lord to be in ministry, and I commend you, and I would love nothing more than to help you raise up in that gift and that calling. We are not here to shut you down. We are here to help raise you up in Jesus' name. And I hope and pray that you take this to heart. And I want to say this, you know, Michael, a mutual friend of ours, and that I know we both have a ton of respect and love for, Apostle Kathy Bishel.
Yes.
I just did a video with her. She's getting her doctorate right now, and she's writing a dissertation on the benefits and negativity of social media in ministry. And she reached out to me and asked if I would, you know, do a video with her in regards to it. And, you know, and I did that with her, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago, and it was wonderful. And we had a great conversation just like this. But I want, and she was really taken back by something that I said, and I want to say it here too, because I am in full-time ministry. I preach all over the world. I can't imagine being in more full-time ministry. I preach almost every week, and I don't have a heavy social media presence. It's not in my heart. When I first got saved, I remember praying to the Lord, and I said, Lord, don't ever let me put my hand to a door. I said, if you open the door, I will go through it with full confidence. I will know that you will provide every need, that the provision will be there, the anointing will be there, the help will be there. But if I put my hand to a door myself, I know that I'm going to have to rely upon my own strength to sustain what I'm walking through. Wow. Whatever is birthed in the flesh, you'll have to sustain by your flesh. Yeah. Whatever is birthed in the spirit, you'll be able to sustain by your spirit. And I've held tight to that word and that prayer that I spoke to the Lord. I said, Lord, never let me put my hand to a door. And now listen, I'm on social media, I'm on Facebook, but I don't have my own website. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't promote myself. And what I have seen since 2016, so now 9 years in ministry, is I have seen God supernaturally open door after door after door after door, align me with men and women of God that in my own heart, I feel I have no business ministering alongside of, but yet God has brought me with them. They have contacted me. I've never asked anybody to preach anywhere, Michael, not one time have I ever asked anybody if I can minister. And yet here I am going into another year, schedule full, ready to preach the gospel, because our God is big enough.
That's
he
right,
is
man.
Who he says he is,
so
my friends.
Good, dude.
Trust him. Trust him with your life. Trust him with your ministry. Trust me, if you're going to try to do this in your own strength, you're going to have to sustain it by your own strength, and you will get tired. You will burn out. But if you allow God to birth it in you by his spirit, you allow him to open the doors by his spirit, his grace, his strength, his anointing will be your portion. It will be your provision. Everything you will need and then some will be there when God opens the door. Don't rush God. Don't rush him, my friends. Wait upon the Lord. He will renew your strength. He will open the doors. He will align you with the correct kingdom relationships, the correct fathers, the correct brothers that will raise you up in his time. If you're listening right now, say his time. Yeah. Just say it. Own it right now. Say, Lord, I want to be in your time, Lord, not mine. And I promise you, my friends, if he has called you, you will see his calling come to pass. It will come to fruition. It will not pass you by. It will actually be in the correct timing. And you, the Bible says that he prepares us in advance to do good works. Wow. You will be prepared in advance to walk into what he's calling you into. If you walk into it on your own, you may not be prepared for it, my friends, and that can be a scary road. Mm-hmm. But if he's the one bringing you to it, you'll be prepared for every aspect of it. And you will walk in victory. You will walk in strength that is not your own. And you will walk in an anointing of the Holy Spirit that will disrupt the gates of hell, bring healing, life, and salvation to those God has called you to speak to. Trust the Lord. Trust in him. Trust his process. And he will make your path straight. I promise you, I'm living proof that you can be in full-time ministry and not have to rack social media every 5 minutes with your face, your promotions, your videos, your reels. God is big enough. He will do it in Jesus' name. He'll do it for you too. I promise.
Come on,
trust
dude.
Him in Jesus.
Amen, bro. Amen. Thank you so much for that, man. His timing. His timing.
Gosh.
Humble yourself so under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in his time.
Yes. Aww. I've seen him do it time and time again, man. People calling me from that I don't even know, ministers from other states, saying God spoke to me. My spiritual father, I mean, Evangelist Dale Everett, I mean, he's been in ministry over 50 years. And I remember I was coming home from work and I pulled in my driveway and I was a Texas number on my phone. And I was like, what is this? So I picked it up. I said, this is Mark. Can I help you? I thought it was work. I said, this is Mark. Can I help you? And he said, hey, this is Evangelist Dale Everett. You know, I got your name from a couple mutual friends. I've been watching you. Some of your videos, you're preaching, you're a man of power, man of faith. I've been praying about it. God said to bring you to Africa. What do you say? Do you want to come? And I was like, let me talk to my wife. But I think yes. You know? And now, you know, fast forward, that was 9 years ago. I've done crusades with him all over the world. I serve him, but I preach alongside of him. I'm happy to serve him. I've learned so much from him. Get under somebody. Get under somebody that is walking in what you hope to walk in one day. Somebody with experience, someone that can disciple you, raise you up. Listen, I am a minister in my own right. I preach all over the world. But when I'm with him, I'm still happy to carry his luggage. That's you know what I'm saying? I still serve
him. Come on, dude.
Serve somebody. Get under somebody. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. The correction it brings, the teaching it brings, the level of anointing that it brings by sitting under their mantle. And I encourage you to get under somebody. Sit under somebody. Serve. You're never going to be able to preach if you don't know how to serve. So
that's
learn
right,
how to
man.
Serve.
That's right.
Get under a good ministry and God will bless you. God will raise you up. I say this very humbly. I'm living proof of what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I want to release that out there that you can do it too. And you will know that you're walking and doing what God's created and called you to do, not ahead of it, but walking in step with the Spirit in Jesus' name.
Come on, man. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is so true. I wish we could have we should probably have another whole podcast on mentorship and serving a ministry and just being being a son, you know, and all of that, man. We could talk about that for another couple hours, but
yes, sir.
It's so good to have you on, man. So good to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining me today. We got to keep talking, man. Bless you and your ministry and your family. Say hi to them for me and Selena. And thank you, bro, for coming on and pouring out your heart.
Dude, I love you, man. Mm-hmm. Cherish you guys. Give Selena my love too. And we'll be in touch. Yeah, I know we will.
Absolutely.
We always do.
Absolutely.
I love you, man. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
You too, man. For those who are watching right now or listening, make sure to rate, subscribe to the podcast so we can get this out to more people so they could be blessed, they could be encouraged, they could be awakened by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Love you guys. Bless you. Talk to you next time on Awaken Podcast. I want to take a brief moment and invite you to Awaken Dallas. My wife and I pastor this church. We planted it in 2023 with a heart to host God's presence, to raise up lovers of him that are compelled to go into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As believers, we're called to be lovers of him, but also laborers in his harvest field. We're called to be worshipers of him, but also warriors that take ground for the kingdom of God. We're called to be sons of God, but also servants of the Lord. And our vision is to know Jesus deeply and to live for him passionately. And our four pillars are, number one, the presence of God. We need him more than anything else. We live in his presence and from his presence, and we're equipping the church to do that. Number two, equipping. We're equipping you with the word of God. We're equipping you with teaching. We're equipping you through giving you tools and resources to walk in wholeness and fullness in your life, making disciples of Jesus Christ. Number three, mission. We're a church on mission together, but we're also a church on fire for missions. We believe in going into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you have a heart for missions, you'll feel very at home at our church. There's a lot of people that are missionaries going out on the mission field and have a heart for missions. And number four, we are a family. As soon as you walk in, you're going to feel that. You're going to sense how the love for that we have for one another, the community that's growing. And so if you're looking for a church in the Dallas area, come out, join us Sundays at 10:30 a.m. You can go to awakendallas.com for more information. See you there.